Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell gave his seventh State of the City address last night. In his speech, he talked about our climate crisis. Mayor Caldwell joined us in our studios earlier today. Well, good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Catherine. It's good to be on your show again.
Tell us, we were watching the State of the City last night. In the past, it has come earlier in the year.
Right.
But you made a conscious decision to hold off.
We went back and forth on this and finally decided let's wait until right before June because we're going to be coming into our hurricane season. And as you know, the National Weather Service just 2 weeks ago says we're going to have above average hurricane season, 70% chance of above average. And so we need to be ready. And as we saw last year with Hurricane Lane, Hurricane Lane started pretty close to shore, ramped up almost immediately to a Category 5, sped towards Oahu, and fell apart right on the shores of Waikiki. You know, we could have been hit. And so we wanted to use this time to talk about climate crisis, resiliency, and what we need to do to be more resilient as a community, not just now, but, you know, going forward for a long period of time.
Right. And some of the things that you're talking about are not going to be very popular. You know, some of it is managed retreat, and that's
yes.
kind of a something hard to swallow
right.
for some people.
If you have a home in an area where your land is falling into the sea, and you come to the city now and say, I want to build a seawall to protect my home, once a moratorium is put in place, which I hope the council will do, we say no. And then your home could fall into the sea. Now, we need to figure out how we help that homeowner. But some hard choices need to be made. We actually have to work with water. We're going to have to retreat in order to save beaches. If you put a wall, you just lose the beach on both sides, and it causes more erosion. You know, if you go to Lanikai, for example, you can see that so clearly. I remember when I grew up in Hilo, but when I moved over here for my job, I could walk the Lanikai beach all the way down to the point and only halfway now, and there's sea walls where homeowners could just jump off the wall into the water where before it was a beach. One wall, another wall, it just makes the beach retreat, erode it. And we don't want to see that happen.
I guess the idea is that you put out there in dealing with this climate crisis, what are top priority for you?
Well, I did want to mention, you know, so we talked about a moratorium on seawalls, but going along with that is setbacks. You know, on Oahu, you can build within 40 feet of the edge of the ocean. On the other counties, Kauai and Maui in particular, there's wider setbacks in certain areas. And so that's the other thing I've asked our City Climate Change Commission to come up with a recommendation as to how do we adjust our setbacks so we don't have to tell people you can't build a wall because they're set back far enough that even with natural erosion because of increasing sea level, their homes are going to be protected. Now, we can't solve the problem for those homes already built closer to the water's edge. But for new homes, why do we want to repeat this problem? So I'm hoping the commission in the next 6 months will give us a recommendation. They're comprised of scientists for the most part. And we don't want to do one size fits all, like say go back 100 feet around the entire island, but it could change by different areas based on how our sand cells work, how the ocean, how waves work in certain areas. So that is something that I think is going to be controversial because if you can't, everyone wants to build as close to the ocean as they can, right? In the old days, that wasn't true, but today everyone wants to be close. And if you're not telling them the land you bought cannot be used as close, people will be upset about that, and that's going to create controversy. The other thing we're going to be doing a study in the dense urban core is how do we deal with the fact that we're going to have sea level rise, but we can't retreat. We can't move our city, you know, up into Makiki and Kaimuki. So we're going to do what other cities around the world are doing that are at sea level. We're going to raise the level of our land, go vertical. So we have money in the budget. We're going to be doing a study to see how high do we go and in what areas. So all new buildings built in Waikiki and Kaka'ako and downtown Honolulu, for example, may have to be built on a podium 6 feet above the maximum sea level rise. And then the next challenge will be raising our roads and raising our parks because the Daniel Kianoi International Airport can't be moved. Honolulu Harbor can't be moved, but we're going to have to raise the level of the docks. And this is something we can do over decades. It's not like we got to do it tomorrow. It's going to cost a lot of money, but not as much as rebuilding the city somewhere else.
Now, I think along with that comes the idea of we need to strengthen the building codes, too, because we're not just talking about sea level rise,
right.
but increased winds.
So our codes are very outdated, and there's two that are now before the council. One is the energy code. And the other one is the electrical code. And both of them result in great savings and savings on energy and renewable energy. But again, they're going to cost more. You know, to be green in some ways costs more up front, but can result in savings at the back end because you're not spending as much on electricity. And one of the things in the energy code that's going to be unpopular is we're requiring that all new buildings that are built, commercial or residential, that they have 25% of all parking stalls EV ready. In other words, they don't actually have to put the charging station, but they have to have the cable right to the place. And that adds cost, right? Because they may say, well, we don't have 25% electrical vehicles parking in our structure. But you hear from the people who drive electric vehicles, we need more charging stations. And so it's a chicken egg. So we're saying you got to at least build out the infrastructure in new developments to accommodate EV, because it's going to come. We committed by 2045, all the mayors and the governor, to have all of our fleets, both private and public, not based on fossil fuel. And so we need to start doing this.
You're also hosting the mayor's conference in June.
Yes. So on June 27th, we're actually going to have the Mayor's Climate Summit. It's something that Mayor Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles, our second largest city, started a couple years ago. And it's always held one day before the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And last year it was in Boston. This year it's going to be here at the East-West Center. And we have now over 40 mayors coming just for that. It's the most mayors that have ever come. And we're going to be talking about all the issues I talked about in my State of the City and many more. All the mayors share the same kinds of concerns that we have. Whether you're a mayor at sea level like San Francisco or New York or Boston, or whether you're a mayor of Oklahoma City with tornadoes that are ripping through, we're seeing intense storms, whether they be hurricanes or tornadoes or major wind events or rain events, the flooding in the Midwest right now. We're all struggling, and how do we anticipate this? How do we build infrastructure to accommodate it? And then at the end of the day is, what do we all do? What do we all do to really deal with carbon pollution and the global warming that results from that? And how do we reduce it? How do we get to net zero? And how do we honor the Paris Accord that so many mayors have signed on to while our president has stepped away from?
Now, your speech yesterday, critics were saying, well, you didn't really, you know, talk about rail, but you did have some other controversial proposals, including the added tax, I guess, on vacant housing.
Yes. So this gets, you know, when we talk about resiliency, most people think about our climate crisis. But resiliency is also, how do we live in a healthy, productive, thriving way on the island of Oahu? And you and I, as we drive to Kaka'ako and see the homeless, that tells us we're not a resilient community. And a lot of the challenge there is affordability and not having enough affordable housing product. And I did talk about that yesterday in terms of these bills, and even vacation rentals deals with that. But we look to other cities that have said, when you have a lot of units bought by offshore investors or second homes that sit empty for the most time, you could do a fee, a vacancy fee, not a tax, a fee. And in Vancouver, the great city of Vancouver in British Columbia, it's 1% of the total value of the real property. And that money would be paid by an owner if they don't put a renter in it. Now, if they don't want to, and, you know, people, it was raised as a criticized, well, Mayor, you know, in Kaka'ako, there's $5 million penthouses. They're not going to rent. What local person can afford that? Absolutely. But they may end up paying a 1% of the total value of their property every year, and that money will go to build more affordable housing for the families that are here. Because as you've probably reported, our population has shrunk in the last 2 years on Oahu. And many of the people are leaving are our kids. Our daughter doesn't live here. I don't know if your kids are here, Catherine, but every time we lose one of our children to the continent, we lose a little bit of our heart, a little bit of our soul, and some of our aloha. So we have to make more units available. The high-end ones will not be rented, but they will be paying a fee towards building more affordable units. So it's going to be controversial. And I'm willing to work with the council to adjust it to be as fair as possible. But I think it's something we need to look at.
You also proposed raising the minimum wage for city workers.
That's right. You know, I put a bill in to the legislature this year saying, please give the counties the authority to raise the minimum wage. You know, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, Boston, the cities themselves raise the minimum wage, not the state. And the reason is that a lot of times, living in a city is much more expensive than living out in the rural areas. And so I was proposing to the legislature, if it's too hard, let the mayors do it if they want to. And that bill didn't get a hearing. But I still supported raising the minimum wage. That's part of this affordability thing. One, housing is expensive. You need to pay people a wage, at least a minimum wage, a living wage, sufficient that they can afford to live here.
I think a lot of folks were surprised when they saw the number in one of the news stories. I think if you made like $60,000+, you were low income.
$69,000. As an individual, you're low income. That's every starting firefighter. That's every starting police officer. That's every bank teller. I mean, it's probably a vast majority of our population are considered poor. That's a sad statement in a place that's very expensive to live in. So the goal was to see if we could raise the minimum wage for everyone on Oahu in the state. Well, it didn't work. But I thought, you know, I can put in a bill and talk. Talk is cheap. Paper is cheap. Put money where my mouth is. And so we committed to at least raise the minimum wage for our city workers, of which about 1,000 make less than $15 an hour. And we put the money in the budget. It's about $2.4 million to do exactly that. So we need to consult with our union friends at both HGA and UPW, which we'll do. And then come July 1st, we'll raise the wage on our lowest city workers, about 1,000 people, so they get closer to a living wage. And I hope, I'm really hopeful next year we can work with the legislature to give the counties the authority at a minimum, otherwise raise this rate, which really should be not just 15, it's more like $17, Catherine, and you were at $10.10 or something right now. That's not an affordable wage for people.
And what do you say to people, you know, because we are wrapping up the city budget, but then they're saying, okay, if you put that money toward the workers' pay, then what aren't we funding?
Well, this is why I am proposing sometimes very controversial measures like charging for Opala pickup, because we're subsidizing our solid waste fund by over 50%. But it looks like the RESA Tier 2 is going to pass, and it looks like our hotel and resort increasing by a dollar will pass. This additional revenue helps balance the budget and cover this increased pay for our city workers. I think it's the right thing to do. But that's, you know, budgets are about raising revenue and also controlling costs. And we do a little bit of both. We have a AA+ bond rating because our budget is well managed.
Okay.
Thanks to the council and to our administration, but previous mayors also. We've been pretty good at raising revenue but controlling costs.
Okay, well, we'll see how the council wraps up this budget process.
We have been talking to Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell about the state of our city and some of the controversial initiatives he is proposing.